The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Spirit of generosity, we come to you with hearts overflowing with gratitude for your abundant creation. As we awaken each morning, help us to remember this day is a gift. This breath, bless you, is grace. This life, a wonder. Remind us with every flower we see, with every act of kindness, every moment of connection to something bigger than ourselves, to whisper, thank you. Cultivate in us a sense of awe and trust in your lavish grace. Let each word of thanks we offer expand our hearts until delight inhabits us and we know love as our sustenance. This is our prayer today. The prayer that through the mundane, through the difficult, through the sad, through all of our lives, we pray that we're able to express thanks. I'm Reverend Andrew Weber, and I am thankful that we are here today together. My ministry is a shared vocation, and one I give great thanks for each and every time this community gathers, whether that community is a gathering of 3 or 50 or anywhere in between. Our ministry is what makes this community holy and what creates more moments of connection in a world so desperately in need of connection. Our shared ministry is the one where we volunteer to do readings in worship or lead a service ourselves. Our shared ministry is bringing food to a potluck or coming into service and saying, oh, we need to set up tables. Let's start doing that. Hypothetical. These are hypothetical. Right? Our ministry is calling up a friend to see how they're doing. Our ministry is planning on attending social action events. It's volunteering our time, donating our money. It's showing up and being present, right? And for all of our ministries, I am grateful. Unitarian Universalism is a shared ministry with a theological grounding. There's a reason we do shared ministry. It's our theology, because our theology states that you and you and you and him and her and they are important, are worthy of love, have value and dignity. We all do. That's the foundation of our faith. You are important. You are beloved. And from that grounding comes the truth that we each participate in community building, the truth that we are the ones who do this important, this life-saving ministry. So come, let us minister to ourselves and to one another. Come, let us worship together. Each Sunday, we kindle a flame in a chalice, the symbol of Unitarian Universalism, and it is as varied as we are, right? The flaming chalice stands as a beacon of hope in times of despair. It reminds us to bring our best selves into times of conflict. Our chalice is the embodiment of the spark of the divine in each of us. And this morning I've asked the Building and Grounds Committee to light our chalice, and that group is led by our fearless Manny McNeil, who helped to organize a work party last week where we did a lot of cleaning inside and outside. The ministry was that physical work. Now, Manny's actually not able to make it today. Something came up, which is okay, because we share our ministry. So anyone who was at that work party and feels so called, please come up to help light our chalice. It's okay to nudge the person next to you, but we're in a place of consent, so you can always say no. Always.
That was a little louder.
Yes, yes. We light the chalice with these words. We light our chalice as a symbol of gratitude, as we celebrate the abundance of our lives together. In this sanctuary, we harvest bushels of strength for one another and offer our crop with the hands of compassion and generosity. In the authentic and gentle manner of our connections, we cultivate a simple sweetness to brighten our spirits. May we be grateful for the ways we nourish and uplift each other, for it is the sharing of this hallowed time together that sustains us. Amen. At Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, we light a second chalice each Sunday, reminding us, we don't need a reminder that it's needed, but reminding us that we need to dedicate our lives, our hearts toward peace. So please respond with the words on the screen. May peace be with us. And with thanks to all those who came and all those who support us in our many ministries. Oh, you can use you can use that one too. Sometimes peace takes work and takes help from friends. And perseverance, yes. Please rise in body or in spirit. We're going to sing our gathering hymn. If you wish to hold something, look at the lyrics, look at the music. Hymnals are in the back. At any time, you can get up and walk around and grab a hymnal or put it back if you decide you don't want it. The lyrics will also be on the screen. Number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Joy of Eden.
for the mystic harmony, linking sense to sound and sight, source of all to thee we raise, this our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, source of all to thee we raise, this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human care, sister, brother, child, for the kinship we all share, for all gentle thoughts and mind, source of all to thee we raise, this our hymn of grateful praise.
I usually sit down low so children can come up and join me. You don't have to be young to be a child, so if anyone wants to come up, you may. The pictures are on the screen too, so if you're just like, Andrew, I don't know what you're doing, that's okay, just look on the screen. Our story today is the sour grape. And if you don't know Jory John and Pete Oswald, they have a number of really, really good books. And let me see which of those they have. The Bad Seed, The Good Egg, The Cool Bean, The Couch Potato, The Smart Cookie. Yeah, they're good, they're good. This is The Sour Grape. I'm a grape, a sour grape. Grrr. If somebody upsets me, I'll remember it. If somebody wrongs me, I won't forget it. If somebody insults me, I'll never ignore it. Nope. See that banana over there? That banana slipped and bumped into me. That's why I'm holding a grudge. See that orange? That orange didn't call me back for a week. Grudge. See that lime? That lime barred my scarf and never returned it. Grudge. I suppose I've got pretty thin skin for a grape. Nobody steps on this grape. Grrr. Granted, it wasn't always this way. I grew up in a close-knit bunch. There were about 3,000 of us in our little community. We were sweet to one another. You look nice today. So do you. No, you do. We all lived on a vine. Sure, it was a bit claustrophobic, especially when we were trying to get ready in the morning. Are you done in there? Come on. But my family was ripe with humor, goodwill, and warmth. We did our best with what we had. Are you going to finish that? My grandparents visited on the weekend. They're raisins, yeah. My grandparents visited on the weekends. We'd stroll in the sun and they'd teach us what they knew. They said it takes a bunch to raise a seed. They said that good grapes roll their own way in life. They told us to be kind, forgiving, considerate, and grateful. Or grapeful, my grandpa said with a wink. Above all, no matter what life throws at you, and there will be a lot, try to stay sweet, my grandma said. Indeed, we said in response. And for a while, I was the sweetest of the sweet. I said, please. I said, thank you. I brushed aside life's little annoyances. I knew how good I had it. Oops. Ha-ha, no problem at all. But then, one day, something changed in me. It was my birthday. I had rigorously and vigorously planned a big party for weeks. I'd sent out invitations with the date prominently displayed. Get this. I had a Ferris wheel, a magician, and hay rides. I had snacks upon snacks upon snacks. The highlight of the party, though, was a fireworks display, which would happen at sundown. I stood up front and waited for folks to arrive. I had a gigantic smile on my face. I waited. Everybody was a little late, it seemed. No big deal, no big whoop. So I waited. A tumbleweed rolled by. A coyote howled in the distance. Sigh. The sun sank behind the hills, and I waited. Nobody showed up, and I mean nobody. By the time the fireworks show started, with me as the sole spectator, I was scowling. I considered everybody I'd invited, and only one thought came to mind. Grudge, 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 grudge. And that, after that, my personality became something else entirely. I went from a sweet grape to a bitter grape to a snappy grape. Who moved my chair? Finally, I became a sour grape. Grrr. I started holding minor grudges that eventually became major grudges. Why don't you watch where you're going? I scowled so much that my face got all squishy. You know what? Don't even bother calling me back. I took my grumpiness out on others. Are you ever going to return my scarf? And that's just how it's been, day after day, week after week, month after month, grudge after grudge. But something happened recently that changed my thinking. I was getting ready to meet with my friend Lenny, the only fellow I know who's as sour as I am. Lenny and I usually go to the park, where we sit on a bench and rant about stuff. But just as I was heading out the door, I bumped my knee. Oof! After I bandaged myself, I discovered I had a flat tire. Ugh! Then I missed the bus, and the next bus was late. Ugh! Finally, I got off at the wrong stop. Sheesh! By the time I arrived at the park, it was getting dark. Lenny was furious and fuming, with a frown and a furrowed forehead. His face looked all squishy. We agreed to meet at exactly 4 o'clock. You're 3 hours late. I tried to explain why I was so tardy, but Lenny wouldn't listen. He'd already made up his mind. He'd formed a huge grudge, and he wouldn't budge. I couldn't believe it. How unfair, I thought. How ridiculous, I thought. How similar to the way I would react. Lenny was pretty worked up. He was pacing back and forth, emitting occasional grumbles. His tone was tart. So I gave him a little space. Besides, it was nice out. I noticed the sky changing colors, the melodic chirping of the birds, the evening breeze, the buzz of the park's insects coming alive at night. I suddenly felt grateful and peaceful and calm. Had I been missing all this simply because I was too busy complaining? Meanwhile, old Lenny stormed off, muttering something about disrespect and lack of consideration. I'm pretty sure I had heard him add a grr, too. I walked home. I pulled a dusty box out from under my bed. There were old family photos inside. I spotted myself in one of the pictures. I was so sweet. I knew that little grape from the photo was still a big part of me deep down. It would just take some work to get back there again. And that was the exact moment I found the invitation I had sent out for my infamous birthday party, the one where nobody showed up. It said May 31st. But wait a minute here. My birthday was on May 21st. Alas, I'd told everyone to come on the wrong day. Gulp. It was all my fault. I realized nobody's perfect, not even me. After that day, I started noticing other things too, like how remaining sour all the time is so draining. I'd wasted so much energy holding grudges when I could have easily cleared the air if I'd felt hurt. And yes, I still get upset from time to time, but that's okay, because now I talk, and I listen, and I work things out instead of just walking away. My sourness is fading. I'm letting go of all my grudges. And hey, it's working. Slip-ups happen. I'm just glad you're okay. Oh, thanks. That scarf looks sublime on you. Why don't you keep it? Really? You're the best. Aren't you glad we got to catch up? I'm so grateful that we did. Sure, sometimes I still let out a little grr when I'm frustrated like this. But then I move on. My face is less squishy, too. Oh, and don't worry. Things are okay with Lenny again. Gosh, sorry I'm late. You must be furious. No big deal, my friend. You know what? If you look at things in the right sort of way, and if you remember to be kind, considerate, forgiving, and grateful, life really can be pretty sweet. Yes, indeed. There ends our story about the sour grape. Oh. That's perfect timing. Now, to shift a little bit, I'm going to talk about snow. Right? That's okay, maybe that's a big shift. It's not quite that cold yet. It's getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. But who has heard the saying that no two snowflakes are the same? Most of us, yeah. Right? I mean, that saying actually originated from Wilson Bentley. I did not know that. In 1885, he took the first photograph of a single snowflake. This is some of his work. He became interested in the makeup of snow crystals and was able to pioneer microscopic photography. He took thousands of pictures of snowflakes. And this is a print of some of his photographs. It was his pictures which led to his belief, and then the commonly held belief, that no two snowflakes are the same. And actually, there's been sort of scientific, I don't know about proof, but delving into study that this is probably correct. They probably are no two alike. And there's so much we could talk about this. There's so much we could go into about this, about how the beauty and mystery of the natural world, the parallels to each of us being unique and having our own attributes, the importance for each person to show their unique attributes, their beauty, their sadness when a unique snowflake melts, paralleling the despair when an individual is gone forever, not to be replaced. Now, Bentley published a book of his photographs shortly before his death in 1931, and actually it's still available. I just requested a copy from my library. I had no idea, and I look forward to going through it and looking at these pictures. Preston brought up this man and this idea in my monthly worship planning meeting. So this is just a reminder to any of you who are like, oh, we're talking about gratitude, but I have this great idea, thought, book, memory. Let me know. It might come up in a service. This is where my gratitude comes forward, because this shared ministry continues on. It continues on everywhere. Today, I want to look at the difference between two realities here and what the sour grape alluded to, didn't say specifically, but alluded to many times. The difference between these two realities, the reality of our individual beauty, our uniqueness, and the reality of communal beauty and communal strength. Right? How many snowflakes are in this picture? Uncountable, right? But every single one is some amazing, unique, individual, beautiful piece. Our work in the world. Our work in the world is to be our beautiful, our unique individuals, but doing so with others means that we can change the world. Right? One snowflake is here and gone. This many snowflakes, well, just wait until February and you'll know what this many snowflakes can do, positive or negative. Walk through the woods and take extra time driving. Our actions and mindsets are contagious, and they build up. They build off ourselves, they build off others. And with respect to gratitude specifically, because that's what we're talking about, Daphne Rose Kingma says, just as millions of snowflakes pile up to create a blanket of snow, the thank yous, we say, pile up and fall gently on one another until in our hearts, in our minds, we are awash with gratitude. That's what the grape did. Started with a blanket of grudges, one upon another, and then changed into a blanket of thank yous, one upon another. And those thousands and thousands build up and create a new reality. And that's what we're going to do today. That's what I want us to do. How we can enhance gratitude in our lives, enhance gratitude in the world. Each month, I write a newsletter article, which hopefully some of you read. That's okay. And I introduce a spiritual practice, because my big thing, if you don't know, like, you should know this by now, like, my big thing about theology, it's like, I want to know what you believe, what you feel to be true, and then I want to see how you live it. I like embodied theology. Oh, it's really important and interesting to talk about what we believe, what we feel, but I want to see it lived out in the world. So every month, I create or I find and I share a spiritual practice. So how do we bring this into our lives? How do we bring gratitude into our lives? Last month, how are we more compassionate? I gave everyone a sharp rock to hold in their pocket as a reminder. That was a tough reminder. This month, I've asked people to write thank you notes. And I actually gave you a goal this time to say 3 thank you notes a week for the month of November. It's just a number. You can go above or beyond that. But think about that. Think about that. Each note is not much. It's like, oh, I can write thank you, sure, and give it to someone or mail it to someone. But if 40 people, I think it's fewer than we have here, if 40 people wrote 3 thank you notes, bless you, for 4 weeks in November, right? I have a math background, but this isn't really difficult. That's almost 500 pieces of gratitude, new pieces of gratitude out into the world. Wow. I mean, that's this embodied. It's just a thank you. It's just a little bit. And pretty soon we're up in the hundreds. Right? There's a snowflake upon snowflake upon snowflake bringing this tiny reality into a huge reality. So in just a moment, you can go to the next slide here. You're going to have time to start or continue writing thank yous. Hey, that worked out. That's pretty cool. I didn't know if that was going to work on the slide. I'm thankful for technology sometimes. Your thank you notes can be long or short. They can be to yourself. They can be to a family member, to a friend, to someone who you've lost contact with, to someone who you see every day, to someone sitting next to you. It can be to someone who is deceased, to someone you have never met, to someone famous who you might send or not send it to them. This is up to you. You can write to the universe, to the source of all life, to the mystery which grounds us. And before you, or behind you, depending on where the table is, there are note cards, there are colored pencils and pens, there's even some blank stationery and envelopes, and each table has different note cards. So if you look at yours, like, I don't like that, just move around. And I have more up here. So you can come up here, and I'm going to have 2 videos playing as you just engage in being thankful. It's okay if you're chatting, if you're talking, if you're silent. The videos are going to be, the first one is of Bentley's photographs of snowflakes. Not all of them, but many of them, just going through. And then after that, it's going to go into one of my favorite children's performers, Rafi. If anyone knows Rafi, thanks a lot. So we're going to have 2 videos and time for you to express your thanks. If you're at home joining us virtually, please feel free to grab a note card or grab paper and an envelope or post-its. The media doesn't matter that much. And if you want, you can always get to me after service during the week and I can get you some cards. Let us be grateful. Yeah. Thank you.
thanks a lot. Thanks for the sun in the sky. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the clouds so high. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the whispering wind. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the birds in the spring. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the moonlit night. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the stars so bright. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the wonder in me. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the way I feel. Thanks for the animals, thanks for the land, thanks for the people everywhere. Thanks a lot. Thanks for all I've got. Thanks for all I've got.
Good morning, everybody. We kind of keep working on your cards as you need to, but finish up as necessary, and we're going to move on to matters of the heart. I'm Alex Dooley. I'm here representing the care team. I hope everybody's having a nice morning. And this is a time that we set aside for a special ritual in our community. We are a community with friendship and fellowship at its heart. We hold love and care for each other as the burning ember of our purpose. We embody the importance of care for each other every week as we set aside time for sharing the matters of our hearts. If you have a sorrow or a joy which overflows into this beloved community, I invite you to come forward and share briefly into the microphone. Those of you online can raise your physical or virtual hand and you will be unmuted. Please start with your name.
We will bring this time of sharing to a close. We're going to do something a little bit different this week. This week we're going to bring this time to a close singing From You I Receive. It is hymn number 402, and we'll pop up on your screens here in just a minute.
We live.
Today's reflection is titled, All That You Need Lies Within You. Consider this an invitation to you, yes, you, with all your happiness and your burdens, your hopes and regrets, an invitation if you feel good today, and an invitation if you do not. If you are aching, and there are so many ways to ache. Whoever you are, however you are, wherever you are on your journey, this is an invitation into peace. Peace in your heart, and peace with every breath. Peace in your heart. Maybe your heart is heavy or hardened, like the sour grape. Maybe it's troubled, and peace can take up residence only in a small corner, only on the edge, with all that is going on in the world and in your life. Nimodo, it doesn't matter. All that you need for a deep and comforting peace to grow lies within you. Once it is in your heart, let it spread into your life. Let it pour from your life into the world. And once it is in the world, let it shine upon all beings.
Good morning, I'm Ann Rostosky, member of the Social Action Committee. That's why I'm here today. And we are supporting the annual fundraising event for UUSC. And that is an organization that is a leading voice for human rights and social justice in the US and around the world. 2 weeks ago, I showed you a brief video telling you what they do. One thing that's kind of unique is that they work with organizations that already exist in the places that they support. They don't come in and try to say, this is what you need to do. They work with existing organizations, which I think is important. And this fundraising event has been around for 50 years, before I was born. Not. Anyway, it's kind of neat because it's an intergenerational type of thing. It's called Guest at Your Table, and each year we support four different guests, and we put these boxes on our tables as if it's someone sitting at our table, and kids can put coins in there or whatever. And then at the end of November, we collect it all and send it into UUSC. So today's video is a little bit longer, so hopefully you're not starving for brunch and you can bear with it. But if you need the boxes or you'd like brochures with more information, let me know. They're in the lobby. And what's really exciting about this guest, it's located in Philadelphia. So I don't think that's ever happened before. It's really a great organization. Thank you.
My name is Victoria Soares. I am the founder and director of Asylum Pride House. We're a 501c3 organization in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We work with supporting LGBTQ plus asylum seekers through transitional housing, initial resources, and case management services. Our programming, we have a 5-bedroom house right now that we're hopefully going to be expanding into the new year, where we host a variety of folks from all over the country. They often are referred to us through like national agencies, different immigration organizations. Sometimes folks find us on their own. It's really a mixture of ways that people come to us, but they come from all over the world. We have folks from Honduras, Guinea, Sierra Leone, China, Venezuela. We've had folks from really everywhere at this point. And I think what's really interesting about this work that our organization does is that it is very intersectional. We work at the intersection of housing instability, immigration, and the LGBTQ plus community. And so there's a lot of ways that different social movements that are happening across the country and across the world, honestly, impact the community that we work with. It is a beautiful thing. It's also a very challenging thing. We're constantly working with different networks of communities at those intersections across the country to try to create programming that is the most impactful as it can be and meeting the needs that are existing because of these real, you know, structural and social issues across the country impacting the community. In terms of organizations doing housing for LGBTQ immigrants, we're the only organization in the US right now that's doing this combination of housing and case management support. Just this summer, we had 5 folks that were placed into our house because of other individuals that were moving out, and we only have a 5-bedroom. So like that, a huge turnover in our programming because of the success of particularly our case management and being able to get folks acclimated into the community. We're really looking in the future being able to expand our size. Just even looking at the past like 6 months, we get contacted almost weekly for housing, and not just housing, sometimes case management, but a lot of folks are looking for housing as well. And we've had to turn folks away because we don't have the capacity. We're really trying to move out of that pilot phase and into a more substantial and long-lasting program in the community. And right now we're actually looking at taking over potential convents, which is really interesting, and working with faith communities in the area that have buildings that are no longer in use to be able to repurpose them into housing LGBTQ immigrants. There's such a need and there's such few resources like ours. It really makes all the difference to be able to actually have the capacity that we need to support the community, because the demand is there. It's just the resources aren't yet. Our organization, we work within such a small intersection of a community that has historically really never been well served by a lot of kind of the philanthropic community nationally and in Philadelphia. We really rely on a lot of more individual donors, small family foundations that trust on us, UUSC, the faith community, that really see that this work is needed and trust that we're capable of doing it. It's very hard to grow a case management program that's not federally funded, and yet our community that we work with has historically never been one that's eligible for federally funded programming. And so we just keep trucking along and trying to build relationships to be able to expand our programming. I've worked in immigration for over 10 years at this point, and this is probably the worst that I've ever seen it, especially within the intersection of working with the queer community and immigration. It is very, very hard to keep the motivation going for our staff and our volunteers and our clients, our residents. It has really taken a serious toll. But what I find the most motivation in is seeing our clients do so well in our programming and to be able to move out into the community and then continue to engage with our programming. We've had folks that are actually our first couple that ever lived in our house moved out over a year ago. And I got a text from them like a couple of weeks ago, and they were like, "We're coming over to like help with the spring cleaning and summer cleaning that you're doing." And I was like, "Oh no, you don't have to do that." And they're like, no, we're coming." Just seeing that continuous engagement from our clients, even after they've moved out of our housing, that they feel so connected with the community members in our programming that they want to continue engaging. And it's a huge light for folks in our program who are not at the stage of being able to have their work authorization and be able to live independently in the community, to see someone who is exactly where they are now and see them in the community doing well, having a job, having a car, having partners, and living really fully in the community. That in and of itself is really what keeps us going. I sometimes actually, we have folks that like, they'll text me and they'll be like, "So-and-so's coming over." And then I come in and they're having like a whole dinner, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is exactly what we want." Within like the queer community and the immigrant community, there's a lot of challenges around isolation. And the whole purpose of why we went with a more community style housing model is because we wanted to combat that type of isolation and all of the, really a lot of the mental health issues that come along with the process of seeking asylum, the trauma that people come with into our program, and to be able to see folks make like truly lasting friendships and bonds with people in our program, that is like above everything else. It makes me the most happy, and it it really shows that the way that we're doing this program works. Our programming really, our organization has really been able to grow into the space that it has because of the faith community that has supported us. And truly, like UUSC, the Sisters of St. Joseph, some other more Philadelphia-based faith communities that have always stood beside us has been just truly unbelievable. When we have people out there that feel like they can talk about what we're doing and the community that we're serving, it amplifies the work that we do and the impact that we have. And so I just always like to leave an open door for faith leaders and congregations and just even individuals that want to reach out and learn, because that is what I love most, honestly, in this work, is to be able to talk to community members and to educate. So I leave that door open.
Those snowflakes of love and care. We can pile up our souls, our actions, our intentions to help heal our world. And at the close of our service, as we're ending today, I have one more ask of you. This is, as you are able and interested, I'm going to invite you to stand up, to walk around, to go around and talk to people here, and to thank people in the service with you. It can be for something specific, like thank you for that thing you said today, you shared. It can be for something more broad. Thank you for being here today. If you're online, you can use the chat to thank each other. And I'll give you some time before I cut you off for our closing hymn. So please move around, say thanks. Stay where you are. Don't move. Stay where you are. Oh, thank you, Phil.
You beat me to the point, but I'm bigger.
Thank you. I'm taller. I'm bigger. So stay where you are, but pause the thanks. Stay where you are, but pause the thanks. You can continue thanking at the potluck and after. And part of why I said get up, move around, and stay where you are is I was like, some of this was I was tricking you, because now we're going to sing our closing hymn, and I've got more of you to stand up. Oh, I got you. Now, you may rise in body or in spirit for our closing hymn. And as we are ending, after we sing, when we move into getting ready for the potluck, take your thank you cards, hand them to those who they're intended for, mail them to people, take the ones you've written, take more if you want to write more, anything left, the pens, the pencils, the cards, the paper and envelopes, you can just put in my office so it's out of the way. You can just go into my office and put it in there. But now let us rise in body or in spirit for our closing hymn, number 368. And on the video, I'm always looking to challenge and comfort. It's in two parts. There's a high and a low part. You may decide which part. I like to switch between them. Let us sing.
One, two, three.
Now let us sing
to the power of the faith within.
Now let us
sing to the power of the faith within.
Lift up your voice.
Think, oh my gosh, that was too long. Come to the worship planning sessions. We extinguish these flames knowing that they shall remain lit in our hearts, in our souls. Our closing words are from Meister Eckhart. If the only prayer you ever say in your life is thank you, it shall be enough. Amen and blessed be.